Ronananian.
Auto repair is a game of inches. It's and you just never know when you're going to be going backwards while you're trying to go forwards at the same time. Because sometimes the deck is just stacked against you.
I can see paradise by the dashboard light.
The Car Doctor.
I've got an 05 CRV just broken in. 200,000 miles.
Just broken in, baby.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now... Ronananian. Here's Ronnie.
Does anybody remember a Fuzzbuster? I'm going to take you back here a little bit. And this is sort of a nod to Meatloaf as we kick off this hour and say thank you for all the great music and memories. Anybody remember a Fuzzbuster? I had a Fuzzbuster. It was a black metal box about, I think it was 6x4x6. It was a radar detector. And it was this big, ugly, giant, like a small speaker you'd stick on top of your dashboard. You Velcroed it on. There was no way to attach it. And you plugged it into the cigarette lighter or you hotwired it into the car. And it was your radar detector. Those were early radar detectors back in the late 70s. Okay, that was the big deal. Wow, I have a Fuzzbuster. And I was thinking about it this week because with the news about Meatloaf passing... And, you know, how many times I'd be barreling up the Merritt Parkway to get up to the Mass Pike to go visit my then girlfriend to become my wife in college up in the Massachusetts area. And how many times it didn't work? Ask any of the cops along the Merritt Parkway about that guy in that 72 Monte Carlo barreling along listening to Meatloaf. And I bet that cop still thinks about the time he waved me over, and let's just say I was going a little on the edge of speed there, and he jumped out of the bushes with the radar gun, and I hit the brakes so hard I did a four-wheel slide like a NASCAR driver pulling into the pits and almost ran him over. Scared him, scared me. We worked it out. And I think about those memories, and I think about the technology, and, you know, it was a romantic time. There was something about that. And, you know, now I see, you know, Meatloaf is gone. And I said to myself, God, I'm getting old. But I'm not that old, right? You know, you get up every day as you get older and you say, God, I'm getting old. But you're not. You know what? You're still motoring along. And you never know what the next day is going to bring. And you have to be prepared for that because you're in auto repair. And I think, and in a way, it's kind of fitting because Meatloaf, in my mind, sang opera to a point. But auto repair is like a great opera. When you're running a repair shop, when you're doing auto repair, you listen to this music in your head and you hear the beat and you hear the rhythm and you get it going and all of a sudden you're kind of flowing in your own world. Danny turned up sick this week, my tech, and it's not COVID. We checked him. It's not COVID. And for one reason or another, I was all alone in the shop for 4 days. And I got all my cars done. I got all the cars done that came in and a few more. And, you know, it's nice. The old man says, gee, I still got it. But there's a music there. There's a rhythm. You kind of find that beat in your head of what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. And it takes you back to when you were a kid and starting out and how you did all of this. And that's all I did all week. I looked around at the building and I looked around at all the equipment and all the things I've accumulated the past 45 years and said, how did I do this? And how was I so fortunate? You know, doing what you love, and I saw this really great sign this morning driving to the chiropractor like, you know, I do on Saturday. And I saw this really great sign that says, love what you do, be proud of what you did. And I think that applies to me. I really love what I do. I love being here every week with you guys. I love listening to your questions. I love listening to your comments. And I'm proud of what I've done. And I think there's more to come. I really do. I hope so. You know, I look at the way 2022 is going, and my gosh, people are checking out like flies. And you say to yourself, holy cow, it gives you a moment to pause and reflect. And I think that's important. And maybe this isn't the greatest automotive talk show opening in the world, but it's just sort of one about life. And I think you've come to expect that from me too. I think when you're dealing with auto repair, it's how you set yourself up, you know, so that you can hear the music, so that you can hear the rhythm. You know, I wonder, do you set yourself up to fail when you go to talk to an auto repair shop? I had a few cases this week. In between, and I really wasn't answering the phone. I had the answering machine on because I didn't really want to talk to anybody this week. I returned phone calls at 10, noon, and 3 o'clock coffee breaks just to keep the day going, just to get my cars done. Got to get my cars done. Got to get my people happy. And it was interesting to listen to some of the calls. And I called one person back. She wanted a wheel put on her Toyota Highlander and she had the part. And I couldn't do it because of the situation we were in this week. We're just, you know, too busy. But there was more to it. I said, well, where did the wheel come from? Well, somebody got it for me. Yeah, but what brand wheel is it? You know, well, it's Toyota. It fits my Toyota. Yes, but where did the wheel come from? And she didn't understand the question. And I said, did somebody buy it on Amazon? And she didn't know that. And I explained to her, you know, I said, listen, I can't put that wheel on. There's a liability factor. And she didn't understand why. And she said, you know, I've been calling around and nobody wants to install this wheel. And I said, because there's a liability factor, second time. And I said to myself, she's putting so much effort into failing developing a relationship with a repair shop. And she didn't sound like a spring chicken. I won't say she was old. My definition of old is anybody older than me, and there's not many. Maybe they're older than Tom Ray. But, you know, she's setting herself up to fail. What is your time worth? What is the expertise of the shop worth? Why do you keep having to find a mechanic? I don't understand. Think about this. Young people today don't really want their driver's license, right? It's been stated several times over and over again. We talk about it all the time. There's less drivers in the world, I believe. I think there's less people getting their license. If there's less people getting their license and there's more and more cars on the road, in theory, then why is everybody still looking for a repair shop, going from shop to shop to shop to shop? I mean, I know there's guys out there that stink, and I know there's shops out there that are just con artists and thieves. I get that part. No doubt. I listen to your stories all week long. But why aren't you, after 10 or 15 or 20 years of driving, unless you're moving every week, why haven't you settled on one person so you don't have to call around to 7 different shops to find somebody? Because I asked her how many she called, to find somebody to install a wheel and change over a spare tire on a Thursday afternoon. Are you setting yourself up to fail? What's the price difference? What's the liability factor? What's the inconvenience factor? What's the issue with getting it done right or preventing it from being done right? And, you know, I live in a bubble. I really do. We call it the Bergen bubble, Bergen County, New Jersey. And it's very different here in terms of, you know, how people approach things and see things. And I hear stories down south. I've heard stories down south from friends that have gone down to be carpenters, where up in New Jersey, they would build a spiral staircase out of mahogany and hard oak wood, and it would be a work of art. And down south in certain states, their idea of a spiral staircase is a fire escape with carpet over it. And I don't say that mockingly. I just say that everybody has a different perspective on how they're going to approach things. But when it comes to your car, it's safety. It's liability. It's how safe are you? How safe is the person next to you on the seat, your family, your child? How safe is the person next to you in the car? You know, I love what I do, and I'm proud of what I did. And I can say that every day. It's just great stuff. But, you know, my number one goal is to keep all of you safe, whether I'm in the shop or whether I'm here behind this microphone. And I wanted to get that off my chest, and I want to thank you for allowing me to do that as I kick off this hour of the Car Doctor. Let's, the phones are already backed up already. Tom, what is he doing? Is he out there selling a sign, waving two for a nickel? Mr. Ray is hard at it again.
No, I'm paying people to call you.
Is that what's going on? I just, you know, yes. This is like when I was a kid, my mom used to tie a pork chop around my neck to get the dogs to play with me. You know, but I wasn't really popular. What can I tell you? So let's pull
you
over.
You get no respect.
I get no respect. No, don't start with that Rodney Dangerfield stuff. I don't want to hear any of that. So I get no respect. My doctor, Dr. Vinny Boombots. Let me get going. Let me pull over and take a pause, because otherwise I'll go off on that tangent. I think we had a good open. We'll leave it there. 855-560-9900. Ron and Annie, the Car Doctor, coming back right after this. I'm your vehicle, baby.
Vehicle not taking you where you want to go? Well, call Ron. He's the expert at making your vehicle take you where you need it. 855-560-9900. And now, back to Ron.
Hey, let's get over to John in New Hampshire, 10 Honda CRV. John, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How can I help?
Hi, Ron. Always a great show.
Thank you, sir.
So we have a 2010 Honda CRV, 150K, and two questions. First thing is, about 6 months ago, I noticed some oil consumption, and it's about a quart every 2,000 miles. Now, I know that's not outrageous, but I'm used to no oil consumption. I faithfully change the oil every 5K. I've been using Pennzoil Platinum 0W20 synthetic. And my question is, switching to like the high mileage version of the oil, or maybe a 5W20, do you think that would have any impact on the consumption? And I just want to mention, there's no sign of any leakage, and there's no sign of any burning out the tailpipe.
Okay, and this has how many miles on it, John?
150K.
Okay, so Honda's got a bulletin. You knew I was going to tell you this story, right? Honda's got a bulletin 12-089 where they're actually extending the warranty because of sticking rings resulting in high engine oil consumption. It's a known fault.
Okay.
It's a common failure for the vehicles. So the problem here is you're out of warranty, because the warranty extension was good for 8 years or 125,000 miles, whichever came first. Which, you know, now you're past that.
Yeah.
So, you know, and this goes back to, you know, it sounds like you changed your, did you say you own the vehicle since new?
We bought it. It had 24K miles on it.
Okay. And you've changed the oil how often?
Every 5K.
Right. And you were using a good quality oil. You know, this is one of the problems with, we've gone to a lighter tension or a lower tension oil ring, and rings in general on a lot of engines, and they're creating issues. The slightest little bit of gum or varnish, you know, just creates a sticky situation where it won't expand out, create a seal, and it just starts to consume oil. And it's a problem. So, you know, the fix is going to become either you're going to have somebody, you know, take it apart and put a fresh set of rings in it, because it's a rebuild. Or you're going to try a miracle in a bottle, either, you know, some form of a sludge remover, which, there isn't anything there that sticks in my mind that I'm going to say works better than the others. You can try what you want. Read the bottles. You know, I get to the point when I get a customer in a situation like this, and I'll give them this exact speech, and then I'll tell them. And then when all is said and done, and this is the comment that usually generates a lot of email for me. I go to you know, baseline, and I'll put a pint of brake fluid in the engine and run it at idle for the better part of, you know, 4 or 5 hours, and then drain it. I won't drive it. I will just let it idle in the bay or idle at the shop and put it back up in the air and drain the oil after a half a day of idling and just trying to clean any sludge that's in it out. Brake fluid is the most caustic thing known to me as far as clearing out an engine. Very, very caustic. But, and there's a but here, okay, you also stand the chance, and I only say this, I've never seen this happen, but I say this because obviously me telling you to put brake fluid in your engine is sort of like committing mechanical suicide. You know, it's obviously the wrong place to put it, but it's a trick I learned from an old school mechanic years and years ago, that works. You know, is it going to be hard on engine seals? Probably. Is it, there's a chance of ruining the engine? I've never done it. I've never taken it to that point. I'm usually diluting it down. If this is a CRV, a Honda, that you're probably putting 4 quarts in it, so a pint max, maybe half a pint, but I'd probably do a pint and not worry about it. But you've got to have the mindset, you know, that you're either going to fix the engine or get rid of the vehicle, so you've got nothing to lose. You've got to get into that position in your head before you do this. Because the problem is, it's not just the oil you're burning. Because you can sit there and say, yeah, oil's cheap enough. Oil's, you know, $5 a quart, $8 a quart, whatever it is, whatever flavor oil you're using. The problem is that you're coating the catalytic converter and the O2 sensors with oil over time, and it's going to at some point shorten the life. Now, at 150,000 miles, the argument could be made it's 11 years old. It's, you know, got 150,000 miles on it. How much longer would you expect the cat to work before you had to put one on anyway? But, you know, all of this comes into play. But known issue. 12-bulletin 12-089. Dated April of 2019, I believe, because I remember seeing it was right around April Fool's Day, and I said, yeah, there's an April Fool's joke. You know, but they talk specifically about this, that it's likely applicable to you by VIN. There was also some issues with where they updated software to improve timing for injectors and variable timing control timing as well. So there's a software update to help with this, prevent it in the future. But known issue with Hondas of that generation. Absolutely.
Okay.
All right.
If you have time for one more quick one.
Sure, sure.
So we noticed recently that the coolant reservoir was down. And I should mention I'm a blind person.
Okay.
So I use my wife's eyes and my daughter's eyes when I'm working on the vehicles.
Okay.
And there was no evidence of any leakage of coolant anywhere. And my wife was just kind of looking everything over, and she noticed on the engine side of the radiator, above the fan shroud, there's a crimp seam between the top tank and the fins of
right,
the radiator.
Right, yeah, that's the top seam.
Yep.
Right.
And she noticed that right above the fan shroud, there was like greenish-blue schmutz is a word I know you like using.
Oh, I like that. That's a technical term.
Yeah. And so anyway, but other than that, no other evidence. And my first thought was, I wonder if some K-Seal added to the cooling system at this point might help.
Can't hurt.
I just want to get your opinion on that.
Absolutely can't hurt. And I think in a case of a vehicle with oil consumption like this, trying a sealer versus replacing a radiator, because I would really get my head around, you know, what's the cost going forward of maintaining a vehicle with oil consumption issues, you know, versus getting it fixed. And listen, it might be worth getting fixed. You know, go price a new vehicle, you know, or go replace a replacement vehicle of any caliber, and, you know, then start to consider the alternatives. And all of a sudden, you know, $3,000 to $5,000 of engine work looks like a bargain compared to a $20,000 or $25,000 vehicle. So, you know, sorry if I ruined your day about the oil consumption, John, but that's the deal with that. Kind of disappointing to see Honda do that, but that's what they do. There's other companies out there that have that issue too. Good to hear from you, and I hope I help. I'm Ron Ananian and the Car Doctor. I'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor, 855-560-9900. Let's get over to Pete in Michigan. Pete, welcome back. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, Ron?
I'm good, sir. What's going on?
So, you got me into this. I called last week about my 1995 Chevy Blazer. You
right.
Went back 13 years with Bob. Now you got to go 26 and a half years back with me.
That's all right.
We talked about reverse bleeding the wall, four wall. I got everything to do that. But you also said, as long as you got this thing apart, you might as well replace the rest of the brake lines. So now I'm looking at brake lines. Service manual says you need double wall steel.
Yep.
And I go to look at brake lines. Now I got marine grade steel. I've got zinc coated. I've got copper nickel. And What's your opinion on all the variations?
So, the copper nickel stuff in the coil, if that's what we're talking about, if that's, I think we're thinking of the same thing. The copper nickel comes in a roll, like a 25-foot roll, and you'd flare and make your own ends. And it was real soft and pliable, and, you know. I stopped using it a couple of years back just because I never liked the way it looked. I never liked the look of the finished product. But more importantly, the durability of it didn't seem to be great, and you would see it start to tarnish and get green after a couple of seasons in New Jersey on winter. And, you know, the corrosive down on the road would tend to beat it up. And it's not that it rotted off the vehicle. I just, you know, it just didn't look like the kind of repair I wanted to put my name on. So I went back.
I agree.
Yeah, I went back to using steel line. And there's some steel-coated stuff out there that you can get, which works well. Now, I will speak in terms of my Suburban, my 04 Suburban. I had to do some steel lines on. And I was able to buy the kit. Delco still makes or brought back a kit that would allow you, you purchase a kit that does everything, okay? And, you know, it's all pre-bent, and they offered it in coated and non-coated. I believe I purchased mine in coated. I've used one or two lines. I haven't changed them all yet because they're not all bad. It was one line out of all of them, and you know it's on the list of things to do. But I'm going to take the gas tank down to do it because I want to run the main line going down the rail. But they're all still in really good shape. I would look at.
Yep.
I would look to. Go ahead.
Like you cautioned me on this 95 being really a one-off year. I purchased some line that said, yeah, it'll fit, but it doesn't account for the four wall being on the fender, so it like comes up straight where right. It actually should come out a little further and then do a 90 in, and it doesn't even do the 90 into the steering mechanism. So I've already succumbed to the fact that I'm going to have to make my own brake lines, and I bought a $200 tool to do the double flares and the benders and all that stuff. So,
okay. Then I think I think regular double wall line will be fine. All right, the problem you're going to have is if you do it in coated, when you go to flare it, that coating is going to it kind of screws up the flare, for lack of a better way to put it. So you end up scraping some of the coating off, do the flare, and then you've got this unprotected portion of the line. So before we go there, I'm trying to think of the name of the company. They're in upstate New York. Is it Classic Tube? I think it's Classic Tube. I purchased, when I did the 55, when I did the hot rod 10 years ago, and I was looking at that, that's 10 years now. That's like, holy cow. Still only
time flies.
Yeah, time flies. Only got 4,800 miles on it. I haven't even turned 5,000 miles on it yet. And I actually, now I'm a little, you guys know how ridiculous I am sometimes. I took a set of regular line, bent it the way I wanted, labeled everything, and sent it to them. You got to see the size of this box. All right. Sent it to them, and they used my lines as a guide, and they bent my lines. Now, I did it out of stainless. I don't know that I'd do stainless again. Stainless is a pain in the neck to work with because it's so hard trying to get the seal at the fitting. The trick was if you put a drop of oil on the threads of the nut, a drop of oil on the back of the flare so that you can get a little bit of extra wank on the wrench, you'll get it to seal. But stainless is a little tough to deal with. But either way, you know, I would talk to them, classictube.com. Tom just put up the website for me in Lancaster, New York. That sounds right. And
okay. And then would a lot of the front lines are all in that armor coil, as I call it, or the armor shielding?
Gravel guard.
GM's.
They call that gravel guard. Yeah.
Would you recommend putting that back on? Because they kind of talked about where the tubes need to have flexibility, and you're clamping just the arm, the What did you refer to it as?
Gravel guard is what I know it
gravel
as.
Gravel guard.
What that does is that does a couple of things. That adds some structure to the line to be held in certain clamps, and it also protects the line itself in the event of debris or grit or crud on the road. Listen, this is a game of how far do we want to take this? All right. And you know, I saw the pictures of the Blazer this morning. I think it's a really sharp truck, and I really love the red bow tie. You know, you've got to face it. You got the disease, my friend. All right, somebody injected Chevrolet apple pie in your arm a long time ago, and now you got to carry the torch. So, you know, this isn't your everyday vehicle. I assume you've got something else to drive. So now you got something to do between now and the end of April. You might as well do it right. You might as well make it look pretty. You know, it's a neat little truck. Tom, just put up the phone number.
That nickel copper is what I used on the rear, and I was really afraid of just, you know, denting it. It would, like,
right.
seal it. You
right,
know?
That's why I don't want to use it.
No protection.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it just looks cheesy, you know?
Because
I know what the next thing is. You're going to call me up and say, hey, Ron, I'm taking my Blazer to car shows. I know where you're going with this. you know, and then guys are going to look under it, and you're going to have these great brake lines up front and these cheesy brake lines in the back, and you're going to be like, yeah, you know. You know. So, listen.
I've got enough to do.
Yeah.
So,
you know, you can call Classic Tube, too. They may make a set of lines for this. Tom, just put up the number if you wanted. If you got a piece of paper, I'm glad to give you the 800 number.
I do.
You know, 800-882-3711. That's just part of what we do here, just trying to help you guys. There's another company also upstate New York somewhere, Inline Tube. And I've got
their site up.
Yep. Yeah. And they've got some good product too. Both companies, I've worked with Classic. I've done research on Inline. I found some information there. I was with Classic first, but I would have no problem dealing with either one. See if somebody will bend your lines. But they are glad to take your lines and match them and make them out of the material you wish. So you know,
it's Classic Tube or Classic Pipes?
Classic Tube. I know it as ClassicTube.com.
Okay, and then last, would you spring for double the price to get marine grade double wall steel?
Yeah, what's the purpose of that? You know, for what?
Pushing rust down the road.
Well, yeah, okay. So let me ask you this question: after you get done restoring this, how often are you going to take it out in the snow?
I'm not taking it out now.
Okay, right. So if you're not taking it out now, you're not taking it out then. Why spend the money and give you more to work with?
Right.
You know?
All right. So, next time you hear from me, it'll be on an airbag system. So.
Okay. Then we can talk about that. Very good. All right, Pete. You have a good rest of the day. Good luck in your restoration, kiddo. You're very welcome.
All right. Thanks, Ron.
You're very welcome. Be well. I'm Ron Ananian, the car doctor. 855-560-9900 is the phone number if you want me. 24/7. The car doctor's phone line is always open, but you can get me live now. 855-560-9900. We're back right after this.
Why, this car is automatic. It's systematic. It's hydromatic. Why, it's greased lightning.
Look at some overhead lifters and four-barrel quads, oh yeah.
Welcome back, Ron. You know, it's funny, we're listening to that as the intro. I was watching the movie Grease this morning. Anybody want to guess when Grease was made? I was shocked. 1978. Now, don't you feel old? Holy cow. That's coming up on 45 years ago, isn't it? Am I doing the math right? It's creeping up. It's going to be 42, 43 years ago. Holy smokes.
It's 44 years this year.
See?
Yeah.
Tom, we're getting old. You know what, though? We can't retire for a lot of reasons. Chris, who used to work for me, he's now a national trainer. Real smart guy for Automotive Training Group, and I were talking this week. He just needed some automotive therapy. He purchased a brand new Ford pickup truck about a year ago, and you know, and I guess if Chris or I bring our vehicle into a dealership, it's probably their worst nightmare because we listen to the story and go, "Yeah, really?" And he brings his brand new Ford pickup in, and I think Tom, I think you'll know the answer to this question. Not that you're a dumb guy, but you're just not the most automotive, except by osmosis, hanging around me. And his complaint was, Chris's complaint was, when he steps on the brake, the steering wheel shakes. So the dealership took it in, and there was a lot of confusion just getting it checked in. They never sent, you know, the car, sir, he had to have a car to come take him back, you know, the shuttle bus back to his house. And long story short, they kept the truck, you know, overnight to diagnose this brake shake shutter. And they called him up the next day, and he said, they called me up, they had the truck 24 hours, and they said, we fixed the problem, even though we didn't feel the shake, and we machined the rear brake rotors. The rear brake rotors. What's wrong with that statement? When you step on the brake and you feel the shake in the steering wheel, which end of the truck do you think is at fault?
I'm going to say the front end.
Right. Wouldn't that be logical? Because the front wheels are connected to the steering wheel, which is connected to your hands, and that's why you're getting the shake?
Matter of fact, I've had this problem and brought it into you, and you actually replaced the rotors.
Right. I don't machine rotors. We throw rotors away because manufacturers don't put enough metal on there to really machine them there. But you see, manufacturers, when they're doing things under warranty, my opinion, they're doing it cheap. They're trying to save. They're trying to cut costs. All right. And in some cases, we think in Chris's case, they were probably machining the rotors on the truck itself, on the front hubs, because they're using an on-the-car brake lathe because they've got issues with mount and dismount. So, but they machined the rear rotors. And Chris asked me, he said, why would they do that? And I kind of went, because they don't know. You know, why do they do that? And I just immediately felt that pang of pain that my listeners, I told them, and the customers feel when they come in from someplace else and they tell me these stories, because there's no common sense. There's, you know, nothing between the ears. So he's gonna go back and talk to them on Monday. That ought to be a good conversation, because they're treating him like he's, you know, I mean, come on, you know, Chris is he's in the business as long as me. He's seen it all, done it all, and the dealers just make no sense. But none of them do. Listen, I could go on and on and on. Let's pull over, take a pause. I want to get out on time so Tom doesn't yell at me for the last segment. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. I'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back. Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. Real quick, and I see we have a call. We're holding that till the next hour, I assume. No, we're going to hold it, so we'll have one for you right out of the gate, as we like to say. Two things I want to talk about. Number one, a while ago we were talking about Launch and the Launch scan tools, and somebody had purchased a Launch scan tool on Amazon, and they were having a problem getting it to connect to the vehicle they were working on. They were here in the U.S. working on, I believe it was a 2012 Jeep Cherokee, Grand Cherokee, something of that caliber, and there was no allowance in the tool to connect to that vehicle. And, you know, he called Launch customer support at my suggestion, and they got back to him, and they said the problem was he had purchased a tool on Amazon that it wasn't supposed to be sold here in the U.S. because there's different versions of software for different places around the world. Launch is sold around the world, obviously. And I spoke to the people that are in charge of Launch. I've got a contact over there, and he explained to me. He said, you know, be careful what you buy, because even though they say they're an official Launch site, it's not necessarily an official Launch dealership. You know, it might be the Launch site on Amazon, but Amazon's interpretation of what makes them a real distributor versus what makes them a real distributor in the eyes of Launch, two different things. So be careful what you buy. Best advice is go to launchtechusa.com, find a distributor that way, and work your way out through the distribution chain, because it's just something they obviously can't control. It. It's just too big of an issue that anybody can say they're an official Launch site or an official anything. They've got to, you know, shut it down that way. So just be aware of that. So anyway, this comes to us from Biff in West Virginia. Hey, Ron, I've got a late model Mazda pickup truck and I need to replace the clutch. And my concern is that my 2006, that's a late model. That's almost, well, whatever. It's 15 years old. I may not be able to get parts from Mazda anymore. When I start looking around for clutches, what do you suggest? I know you always talk about buying OE clutches, but in this case, it may be obsolete and I may not be able to. You know what, Biff? Take a look at Luke, L-U-K, the Luke Rep Set. The Luke Rep Set, you can find it on O'Reilly Auto Parts, O'ReillyAuto.com carries Luke. You will see that they make a complete kit that, in most cases, it's got everything in it. Clutch, pressure plate, bearing, pilot, the whole schmear. So something to look for. But Luke, very good brand. We use them all the time when we get to do clutches, which obviously are few and far between now. They're fading away. Appreciate the question. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. Till the next time, good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. See ya.